bbsradio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge, bringing humanity closer to truth.
Everybody, this is Douglas Newsome, and
hello, everybody. This is Tyler Gallagher.
We're here bringing you Inner Dialogue, a show about talking to yourself, meditating, getting to know yourself on the inside.
Yes, or having a conversation with a friend of yours and coming to some profound understandings and sharing it with others. It's kind of a combination of our inner thoughts and our inner thoughts conversations with each other, if that makes any sense. Sharing our inner thoughts with each other and having conversations on it and coming to some cool discoveries.
I think everybody today can probably relate to a fairly busy work day. When we're younger, we go through school, and then friends, and then we have work, and then sometimes more school. But ultimately, we get too busy to sometimes just sit back and question ourselves. Nobody else needs to question us, our mothers, our dad. You know how we always know what's right from wrong? Well, ultimately, we talk to ourselves. Sometimes we just get that feeling, because we don't really talk, we just go with the feeling, ah, that's right, that's wrong, and we may not even analyze why we're doing it. But time goes by, maybe you get 50, 60, 70-year-olds, and people start to slow down then. And really, once you slow down a little bit, you're talking a little bit more to yourself, you find things that are more important, like your family or discussions, things that weren't so important when you were younger, because your mind sometimes moves so fast. You don't slow it down to really question who you are or what you want or what's so important in your life and what makes you happy.
And I want to add to that. It's so beautiful what you just said. And it's funny because in Europe, they actually take the time to do that. You know, they have naps during the day that they have to take and businesses close down for an hour so everyone can go and
so they can have a couple hours to socialize. Hey, that's right. In foreign countries, dinner's a big thing.
Yes.
You know, you have 5-6 course meals.
Yeah.
Today, I can't even remember the last time I sat down. And when I do, it's always a good time when we sit down and we have meetings with friends or we,
yeah.
But that's all too rare.
And what do you always find yourself saying in those times? Gosh, why don't we do this more often?
Yes.
Yes, yes. I wanted to add something. We did a show last week. And we ended the show with a question. What constitutes judgment, correct?
Yes, what is judgment, or a definition of judgment?
And I got to tell you, we got this wonderful email from a gentleman which touched me. And I don't want to say too much about the gentleman, keep his privacy and whatnot, but I want to say to this gentleman, if he is listening, that I can relate to what he said in the email. And Douglas and myself were talking about feeling and how important that is and how there's, you know, some certain beings here that have really tapped into feeling and we were talking about disabled people. And there was a gentleman who had a disabled son, I believe it was. He had a Down syndrome son that was also had autism, diabetes, and leukemia. And that this profound son of his brought a lot into their lives. And I wanted to share on my own. I have a brother that has Down syndrome. And I got to tell you, you know, we truly call them disabled. And, you know, we call them, you know, we call them disabled or whatever. But I got to tell you, those beings are so much more advanced than us. And I got to tell you, to be able to go through and to live a life where you have all of that Down syndrome, autism, diabetes, leukemia, and to still be smiling, all I can say in one word from my heart is I am in awe. I think that's got to be one of the most beautiful things, because I got to tell you, if it happened to me, if it happened to someone in the human experience, they would let it get them down, and they'd be so far from happiness. And I got to tell you, you know, my brother, he's probably the happiest little guy I ever met. I don't think in my entire life I ever saw him pissed off. I saw him pretend to be mad, but if you call him out on it and you say, you're not mad, he was always such a loving being and had so much energy. And he's still alive, and he's a beautiful soul. But just wanted to say to that wonderful person.
Wouldn't it be interesting if we had in our mind's eye the view of people with that handicap, but actually viewing them as more angelic? Or more capable of love and feelings to teach us by,
well,
that really we become the students of them on so many levels.
Well, I want to add, I truly believe, you know, reading a profound book right now, same one, Intuition, I believe more than ever that we chose everything in our lives that exists. You know, everything, at our highest being. Because remember, this suit of armor that we're in, it kind of holds, it actually helps enable us to enjoy the journey. Do you know what I mean? This wonderful suit of armor. But I believe when we're out of this suit of armor, we are in our highest, purest form. And I believe when everybody is out of this suit of armor, I do not care who you are. You are the most perfect being. You are returned to perfection. And I got to tell you, being in that state of complete perfection, being out of this suit of armor, which causes us to not be imperfect, which causes us to have ego, causes us to do things that we normally wouldn't do in this higher self, you know, when we're in that highest form, choosing our path, you know, I truly believe that my brother chose his path. And it's all for a reason, reasons that we don't know. But I got to tell you, I am just in awe for someone who chooses that experience and
shares it with all of us.
Oh,
because they're doing it ultimately,
yeah,
I think, shares. To share it with us.
I agree.
Yeah, John, the gentleman who sent us that email, thank you very much. I want
thank
to go on
you
to
so
your
kindly.
To your definition of judgment. And it's a very spiritual one as we learn more, I think, and become more aware, I think. This kind of an unfolding, this sort of a belief system is more true than most. But John says, judgment is the time when after you cross over, you do your life review and come face to face with all the sheer things you've done. I think that's absolutely true. I don't know if I believe that anything judges you. I don't know if God is a source of judgment. God is a source of love and therefore wisdom, I think, on many, but judgment, I don't really think God is your judge. He'll, like any parent may, will love you eternally, but you're the judge.
Do you know what, thought struck me? It's really interesting when you say that. I believe when we come out of this human body, this human cast, I believe that it's not judging. We kind of assess our lives and what we've done. And, you know, I've had these conversations with Doug before, and this is just It's a thought that's been forming. And, you know, maybe I want to get an opinion on it, too, and I've shared this with you, Doug. And it ties into this. And you know, I believe even the darkest of people who we classify as dark, even, you know, a Hitler or whatever, you know, when he's finally out of this suit of armor that causes that ego, that causes that hatred, that whatever it is, you know, and remember, it's all based on him. This suit of armor lets you experience what you want to experience, you know. If you see, you know, it's all freedom of choice. So this, you know, in our eyes, and, you know, and on his actions, you know, he did some things. But I truly believe that when even a guy like Hitler comes out of his suit of armor,
He's aware.
And he sees what he's done.
He sees what he's done.
And let me ask you this. If Hitler, right, because I truly believe we've all lived before. There's no way we haven't. I've had beyond profound conversations with 11-year-olds. And I'm 11.
You know what my mother just said?
What?
She said, intuition is the embodiment of all of your lifetimes and all of your soul history in the feelings moving forward at the present time, basically.
I love that.
So
it's actually brilliant.
So all of the things you've ever been are your intuition. Your intuition may be different than the next person.
But I'd like to
The next person might have lived 1,000 different experiences.
But I want to add to that.
That was interesting.
I want to add to that. I believe that, and I believe it's also other people's experiences all put into
a collective consciousness.
Which we have all
But then, this is funny, because my mother says, you know, it comes from your own experiences. Your own experiences are a part of collective consciousness. You really can't separate the two. But, ultimately, if intuition is particular to your own makeup, or all of your own past lives, all of your own feelings, everything that makes you up, and your intuition moves you forward to that pinnacle of where you need to be. It gives you the feeling. It says take the right corner, or go to the left lane, or like this person, or you don't like this person. Maybe because it's particular just to you, intuition. Now, that therefore, maybe it wouldn't pull from a collective pot, or would it? And maybe it's all harbored in the same place. It's just an action, access to a different dimension of the collective pot. I don't know. I mean, we're getting out there.
It's interesting. But I want to stick with this judgment thing, because that is really interesting. See, you take a guy like Hitler, right, who in our minds, evil, 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 and he comes out of this suit of armor, right, and knowing that we've all lived before, he then says, you know, he sees what he's done, and he goes, you know what, I need to come back, and when I come back into this life, I need to have no arms, no legs, I cannot speak, and they need to be blind. I think this is the only way I will evolve into my next level of understanding. In this way, I can harm nobody, not even myself. And let me tell you, you know, we look at this world. That's happened. People are born into this world with no arms, no legs. You know, it's so funny. You know, I used to look at them and I'd be like, that's a really sad situation. But you know what's funny? They're probably like, are you kidding me? I chose this. This is the most beautiful situation, and it really makes me think, you know? So tying into this thing of judgment, I believe that, but what if we judge ourselves in front of, an enormous amount of energy? What if it's kind of like all, you know, once we're in our purest form, we review our lives with others, or you know what I mean?
I believe we do, and I believe judgment.
And then you choose what are you doing when you come back here?
I think on the opposite side, you get pulled out of a time element, and you review the history of your life all at once. There's really no time associated to it. It happens, you review it all at once, you forgive yourself all at once, and you realize that because you were just not aware. You're in a different awareness plane now, and you go, oh, yeah, like the spider, didn't really know. Okay, oh, I forgive myself. In some manners you do that. In other manners, I think there is a process where you delve a little bit deeply, and you might atone for that on a new medium or a new dimensional area of learning for yourself. But I really believe that you do make the ultimate choice yourself. Just like here you have the choice.
Yeah.
There you have the choice. Here you have teachers. Yeah. You have guides. You have your family. You have your brothers.
I want to add this too, because this thought just struck me. Now, I'm not saying that every person that comes into this world, you know, without arms, without legs, are all people like Hitler. I'm not saying that. I'm just giving an example of, you know, a situation. What if we chose, you know, what if on another realm there's an individual like Mother Teresa who came into this world, delivered love, used her gifts, and said, you know what, my next evolution, I need to come in and let people feel me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying,
let them take care of me because I've given so much, I need to know what it's like to actually be.
Or I want to get to that next evolution of love where I don't need to say anything. People feel my love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And my ego's, you know, if I come back in a normal, you know, my ego's going to make me talk. But what if I came back in a form where that wasn't an option?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I wasn't capable of talking to show my love.
I got to tell you, every single situation such as John's with his son, you really got to be in awe and wonder how special that individual is. And I got to tell you, that's got to be the master course, or that's got to be, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The, you know, master's class in evolution.
Yes, yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's got to be a great deal.
It's like any class, if it's harder,
yes,
you learn a little bit more.
Yes.
They're taking the class of hard knocks. It's not the easiest road, but imagine what you learn.
How much growth they have after that experience. I mean, I gotta just, again, Down syndrome, autism, diabetes, and leukemia. Hospitalized many times. He couldn't speak. He did nothing wrong. He was an angel in our lives. Can you just, that is unbelievable. I gotta tell you, John, I'm quite convinced that you truly had an angel in your existence. You absolutely had an angel in his master class or his, you know, absolute next level spirituality, and you are so blessed for that experience. It must really shape who you are today. Like, it's stuck out in my mind. Stuck out in my mind.
Well, this past week's been an interesting week. We've been doing something. We put our heads together and we decided we're going to do something good for ourselves. You know how you make all the... You know what I believe? I believe that people, when they make understandings to themselves and they don't follow through with them sometimes, they ultimately they stop to look at themselves because they're afraid to evaluate themselves because they know already they've got some strike against them and they don't want to look at it. So they let the strikes build up, or they let the negative feelings build up, or that energy build up because they don't want to look at it. Because once you let one thing slide, you know how if you lie now, you'll lie in the future, kind of a philosophy. But once you start on kind of that path, that the things just keep on piling up. So if you don't look at yourself, I think it gets harder and harder at some point to really look at yourself if you have a lot of crap on you. And that crap is just, like, let's say you stole the candy bar and you felt really guilty about it, but you didn't look at that guilt. And then later it came out as a nervous tic. You know how people who kill somebody might put themselves into a psychotic break where they'll become two different people? You know, in order but that's kind of a mental disorder. And I think that stems from not really looking at yourself. It's avoiding yourself. That's how these psychotic cuts, these breaks, these very unique personalities that become very monstrous in the world develop, because they aren't willing to look deeply at the situation that they're confronted in and find out how they feel about it. Nobody really does that for them or helps them do it, so they escape. And they create breaks in their psyche.
Oh, I get what you're saying. I understand. Yeah, so they get into drug habits.
Sure, and then they feel guilty about that, and that gets a little bit worse, but they don't really do anything about it, right? Then lies come easier. They might tell one or two because they told themselves lies.
Yeah.
So that gets a little bit easier. And by the way, what's interesting about the human nature is, as it continues to do this to itself, it's evident in their face.
Mm-hmm.
On so many levels, you can see a person's eyes and see the weariness or the pain or the struggle or the intense concentration.
Oh, my gosh.
All in their eyes.
I want to add to this. I so want... This just reminded me of something so profound. And it actually ties into everything. And how you said that the face and, you know, if you're frowning all the time, it has those lines. You know, going back to, I truly believe in our purest form, we chose this. Do you know what I mean? People that think that they're ugly, you know, they're not ugly. They chose that appearance to attract the right people. The only thing that makes you, quote, ugly is letting your experience affect you, i.e. getting angry all the time, and you have these frowns and these wrinkles, and, you know, you're smoking, and you got leather skin, and, you know, you eat all the time, so you're rather fat. That's the only thing that I would say would constitute, and I wouldn't even say it, only in your eyes, would, you know what I mean? But I got to tell you, no matter who you are, you came into this existence in perfect physical form. Do you know what I mean? Your journey and how you let it affect you, that is what can alter your appearance or can change what you masterfully made. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, and the idea of judgment, bear this in mind. This is an interesting thing. Because I think on so many levels, what we do to ourselves based on how we feel is in direct correlation to our physical body's health, for example. And I used this one because I remembered it the most, and it was just so beautiful I even heard it because it allowed me to open up my doors and look in a different direction. Not to say I should look in these different, in this, but I think why not? I think if you don't look in a billion directions, you're looking as many as you can. But, you know, I'm a smoker. Bummer. Never liked myself for it. One of those things that just ages me. Wish it didn't. Feel it does. Why? Maybe. Because all of my life I've been told it's bad for me. Could that be... If anybody tells you something is bad for you all of your life, and you do it, all of your life,
but
you do it...
I got to add something to this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just hit me. I got to tell you this. You came in perfect form, Doug. You chose this body, right?
Mm.
You chose the way you look, because truly I believe your appearance is going to attract the woman of your dreams who you knew in your higher being that you were going to fall in love with. The way you look,
well,
everything
or maybe your
is
friend.
For a reason.
Right?
Or your friends. But there's something about you which is very special, and you made it that way because it acts as what needs to attract the things into your life that are meant to be.
I would agree.
Now, in saying that, you said, well, because I know what you were getting. You were saying, well, what if my whole life people said smoking's good? Would I look the way, would I feel older? And would I got to tell you.
That's a question, though.
Nobody knows. And I
know
you're going to ask that,
yeah.
So I got to add this. Knowing that you're perfect in your experience, right, physically, right, we're not perfect. In this body, I got to tell you, you're not perfect. That's part of your experience. Just to let you know, nobody's perfect. I don't care who you are. You have, I apologize for the vulgarity, but you have fucked up a couple times, more than once in your life, which is part of the process. You grow. It's the only way you learn. But I got to tell you, Doug, to know and truly tap into your physical is perfect. Not your, you know, but your physical is perfect. You shouldn't have to be addicted to anything in any way.
I agree. But the body requires sustenance, does it not?
But the second that you can't sit a day without smoking, that's a problem.
No.
There should be nothing running your life, and if you wanted to sit and have a conversation with somebody all day in a house, you should not have to break up that conversation to go have a smoke. That means something's got a hold of you, and it's taking
You're right. It's
not a coincidence that smoking is give cancer, kills people, puts holes in their lungs. It's the universal. It's God's way. It's the energy around's way of saying this might be bad for you.
Or this is the addiction principle that needs to be learned due to for the benefit of the will. The will, because I think the will is a strong component in growth. I think you have to have the will to make the choice, the right choice. And I think on many levels we have negative choices to gain that sort of an understanding. So, because you come here with nothing, you leave with nothing. But this is where I'm getting at. I had somebody tell me, Doug, keep smoking. You need the you might need the sulfur. You might need the sulfur. I know that's throwing a hook out there.
You sound like you're trying to cop out of something.
I'm making it difficult.
Me ask you something. And this ties back to one of our shows. And I love this. Doug and I have these profound conversations, which they make me smile. And Doug, I gotta ask you, what constitutes something bad?
Something that forgives you uninvited pain.
Right. Is that correct?
Yes.
Uninvited pain. I know for a fact, because I know you as a person and a very personal friend of mine, that it may not be every day, but when you are by yourself and you are in your purest form, there is a pain that cigarettes causes you.
By the way, I totally concur. It does offer me uninvited pain. But that may be due to the conditioning I received in my past. Now, here's my bottom line point. In order to become a person who can float through life without judgment, on many levels, you have to look at all sides of the spectrum that's unique for that individual. Like the individual's intuition.
I'm going to take, so we don't make this personal, mm-hmm. and there's no defending. I love this. Let's take somebody who's got a love for food, and they find themselves getting rather chunky. And looking in the mirror in the morning is something that they want to avoid. Mm-hmm. It makes them feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a friend that says, no, don't. Life's about being happy. Eat that food. Eat that food and that. And before you know it, they're really fat. They smell all the time because they're, when you're overweight, you sweat a lot, and it's not as easy to clean often. You don't have as much energy, right?
You're going there alone.
And I'm not saying there's any. No. And here's the thing: I'm throwing this as getting an unbiased thought. Okay. I think the universe shows us signs of what might be wrong for us. Have you ever heard of power versus force?
Yeah.
You heard of how you can put this is true, guys, by the way. This is a fact of life. There's an amazing book on it called Power versus Force. And I hear they use this with the police and in the CIA. That our body operates at such an instinctive level. I mean, we breathe instinctively. We, we blink instinctively. Our blood flow. There's so much going on in our body, but it happens instinctively without us knowing, which is the way it should be. I would hate to monitor my breathing, be like, oh, am I breathing, in knowing that there's these instinctive parts of you, right, and I hate this, I got a brain fart now, so we're talking about being obese, and not that it's a bad thing, but I think that the universe shows us signs. Oh, yeah, and so that power versus force. So there's an instinctiveness in us that if you take this an object, you could take something like sugar, and you put it to your chest, and you put your arm out, and you make it like strong as rock, and you hold it with all your force. All someone has to do is take two fingers and push down. And if it pushes down, just two fingers, it means that thing's bad for you.
If it's easier than if you have something in your hand that's actually good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I believe in taking something that small on a grander scale. You think about it.
Okay.
You're sweating. Well, hold on. So think about it. If you're sweating, right, you're not wanting to look yourself in the mirror. You're feeling really bad about life. You don't have as much energy as you've normally had. Do you not think that that's the universe telling you this could be a bad situation for yourself?
Now, let me take this a step farther as to why no judgment, though. Without that person having had that cigarette, or without the cigarette understanding,
mm-hmm.
there wouldn't be any point where the person would say, I need to learn the disciplines of will to get over, let's say, addictions. That would be one component that would provide us that ability.
Touché.
So on some level, it's almost like the experience is necessary. May not be right or wrong. I don't like to think in terms of right or wrong or judgments or no judgments. I do believe in particular that we each ourselves are a little bit unique, and we can take different, like some people can't eat meat because of maybe, and they're starting to come out with studies like blood types is indicative of a certain type of meat you eat or whether you eat vegetables. I'm not quite sure of that.
And
some people are acidic, are alkaline in their
body. And it doesn't mean that meat's bad, right?
No, I
don't
know.
It means for that person it's bad. Because I got to tell
right.
you, oh, this is so good.
Right.
I got to tell you, I know people that can eat like a racehorse, just a mammoth, just eat.
And never gain weight. Yeah.
And I got to tell you, for them, it's not bad. It's not a bad thing. They don't feel bad about themselves. They enjoy it. But for others, they gain tons of weight and they start to feel unhealthy. Then it might be bad.
Like, here's an example.
But you got to find out how it affects you. Oh gosh! Oh my gosh!
My mother
going into something.
My mother, as you know, has a condition and I don't want to go into that. But she couldn't quit smoking. There comes a point where the body has had so much of it, where it's almost like a relief, and it actually kind of releases those sort of endorphins at a point when they are the most necessary in her life right now. Isn't that interesting?
Well,
now, I'm not, because it would be such a stress on the body to relieve it of that. Believe me, under the certain condition, I'm right.
I gotta say, God bless your mom. She's an amazing woman. But I would have to disagree that cigarettes would help her situation.
Well, only at this point, because taking off would give her such stress that that it would be a mental discipline and other things
that wouldn't
be good for her at this time in her life.
Yes, go cold turkey. I 100,000% agree with you. It's almost like now it's a crutch, and she'd have to replace that with another crutch, because if she just took it away, she'd fall over. But if you could take that and put in another crutch, yeah, no, absolutely, 100%.
But the real point of judgment, the real point of these conversations is to look at it in 1,000 ways.
But I want to add to this. So you look at this guy who's skinny, he's eating his face off, and he's skinny. What if our higher self set, like, the Declaration of the Constitution of the United States of America and the Declaration of Independence, what if they set up, like, that perfect America? Your higher self set up the perfect you, right? For one, eating fine. It doesn't. But for another, it's like your higher self says, no. And then when you start gaining weight, it's like, this might not be for you. Just like you were talking about some others, they eat meat and it bothers. Well, maybe their higher self set them up for, hey, meat's not for you. It's not, you know, how you're going to get to where you're going and how I set up your DNA. But isn't it funny? So I'm not saying that being obese or smoking or anything of that is bad, but I'm saying, and alone, by yourself, without my thoughts or Doug or anybody around you, sit down and see, what do you think your DNA structure is, and what
That's
do you think your higher self set up? You know, I got to tell you, and this is important, I've met obese people that love it. I've met comedians who are freaking hilarious because of their weight and their success because of that. And they're happy. They're genuinely happy. I believe those people look themselves in the mirror and are genuinely happy. So I think the question is, if you're not happy in your life right now, I'm telling you 1,000%, it has to do with your higher self setting up the perfect life for you. And you should really center yourself and see if maybe meat, you know, if maybe food or something like that is interrupting this perfect experience. Because like we said in previous programs, I am more of a believer than I have ever been that this on earth here has been designed for nothing less than a reward. Nothing less than a reward. It is a reward. Every single individual here did something to be able to live here. They are truly, truly blessed.
Even if the reward is a classroom, and we hate it when we're children.
But I gotta tell you, you look at someone that comes in like John's son, and to us, the outside world that are so unaware and so caught up in our own world, they're like, oh, poor guy. But I could guarantee you, if we really, really talk to him, his higher self, and his son would have been like, I am having the most brilliant this is the best reward, and I set my reward up this way. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, everybody, no matter who you are, this is a reward. You choose to let it be a reward, or you choose to not let it be a reward. That's the beauty of this reward.
I don't think that you put your God has done this to you.
No.
I don't think that if you grew
full
up in Africa and you're about to die of AIDS,
God did not do that to you. No.
God only sends you love to make the right choice that you believe you need to make. It's a constant source of love.
You ever thought about this? You know how Bono, musician, you too, is doing so much for third world countries. What if it took him to come in some lifetime as one of those children to feel and to see that immense pain so that he could come back as Bono and make a difference?
See?
You ever thought about that?
Could be. Could be.
I love that.
Could be. And I think on many
levels, are we to judge?
Many people now, this is one of a purveying spiritual kind of a belief that there's a lot of light workers out there. And there's a lot of people now that are coming back, not so much for their own development so much now, but they're coming back to show the world a new way of being. Okay.
We're helping the world.
Or helping the world.
Next evolution.
So on some levels, I think that a lot of the pain and the suffering that is being witnessed is in part a sacrifice from individuals in order to allow other people to wake up. Now, again, it's still their choice.
Yes.
But it's a sacrifice, and one that we should look at as a sacrifice, that they were there to show us and they loved us that much that they were willing to put themselves there to wake us up a little.
But again, and that's so beautiful what you say, but I truly think it's this simple. That is the reward to them. Let me tell you, we talked about this in a previous show. You're coming, this reward, let's say, is a trip to the Bahamas, okay? You love surfing, and you spend your entire time surfing. And someone is sitting there who loves reading on the beach. And the whole time they're reading, you know, fantasy books, or they're building, whatever they're doing, they're just not surfing. And it's so easy for the guy surfing to go, oh, I feel so sorry for that guy that he's not, you know, surfing. Poor guy, maybe he doesn't know. Maybe I should go teach him how to surf. When little does he know that the guy doesn't care about surfing. It's not in his DNA structure. He's just as blissful as the guy surfing, and they wear different glasses, but they have the same end result. So truly, we can look at some guy like John's son and go, oh, that's sad, because, you know, truly, for an unaware, someone, me, just looking at the fact, that seems like a very terrible situation, but who are we when we don't know what his son truly feels? Who are we to be that surfer going, I wish I could teach this guy how to surf? What if he didn't want to learn?
Yep.
What if in his DNA is that kind of an experience? What if that brings him peace?
You know, on so
right?
many, here's a question, Dad. You know, there's a good movie. It was called, there's so many good movies. But
so many.
One in particular reminded me of this guy who just had a happy life all of his life. So he's happy. Oh, it's not like he had a down moment. It's not like he went through these spiritual cycles and ages and, you know, the flow in and the flow out, in within the out breath. So you have these cycles per se, you know, if everything goes round and round and round from beginning to end. But then there's some people who have these shorter spans. Like some people might get, every day they have an up moment and then the next day they're at a down moment. Some people it's a week. A week, they'll have an up period and then a down period.
Yeah.
Some people, it might be a year. Now, how many people have you met feel totally at their peak all of their life? I don't even know of one.
Nope.
Is it possible?
Yes.
Is it?
I think
how come I don't know of any?
Because this is your world. Have you been to the Middle East? Have you been to China? Have you personally got to know everybody in this planet? The answer is no. We are so unaware. We will never know, and that's part of this experience. It's complicated for a reason, so that it can fit every person's psyche, every person's reward, everybody's, you know, DNA structure. This world is so, I don't care who you are, you will never, ever know it all. And I say that in the same sense. I could guarantee you there are individuals who have lived a blissful
life for a long
time.
So what you're saying is you have to be unhappy to some degree to know happy.
I believe that. I do believe in duality. I believe in order for this person to experience complete bliss, they wouldn't know what it is.
Why is anybody trying to stop me from smoking? I'm joking. I just throw that out there.
Because as people tap into each other, because I believe we're all connected, and this is an answer for you, Doug. I believe that people tap into you. You're such an open individual. You're like everybody's connected, and you've opened your connection up. And a complete stranger you allow in. And I think they only tell you what you're telling them on a subconscious level. I think you want yourself to quit, and you're telling others so that they can tell you, because there's a part of you that covers up that you want to quit, and it keeps trying to make excuses. But there's this higher part of you which is connecting with others and is sending that signal out. So somebody is saying to you, or not even saying you, just sort of putting an open place.
That's
you
right.
Know
and
what
here's
I mean?
Why. Because on many levels, if I projected some different confidence that I got from it, or if I projected that I found real purpose or significance within my smoking, which I don't ever, then yes, it would give a whole different implied understanding, a different intuition from all the people that were around me. They would relate to me different. But because I project a certain understanding with it, which is not good for me, it is a part of the reactions of the world around me.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, regardless of what smoking does, there is something in yourself that every time you don't smoke, or that every time you smoke, it makes you feel bad. It's been conditioned from everybody who you've met on your journey. And I believe it's your higher self that has put that and created that within you, because that knows it's the only thing that it has to getting you to quit. Because you have this perfect structure of how your life should be.
But on some level, I don't, you know, it's funny. I look at it not so much as a bad thing for my body. I think ultimately because I do meditate and I do think, and I think about how to repair my body and these different. And I think on some level, too, everybody needs a little bit of bad in order so their body can build up immunity. You know, give me a little jolt of poison so I can take the mask.
That, to me,
but,
sounds like your head and not your heart talking.
But also,
but let me say this, because it sounds like your head. I think when you come up with logics and I meditate, it fixes me. I think it's this simple, Doug. You have the answer. So next time you're meditating and you're in your highest state, think about smoking, and don't think about thoughts, logic, smoking, I need good, I need bad, I need bad, Just tap into how does that make you feel when you think about smoking. And if when you are centered and you're with your higher self and you're in peace and nobody's around to judge you, because judging is, you know, nobody. There's only you by yourself. And you ask that, and you feel good, then smoking's good.
I would feel worse if I didn't work out today. Uh-oh!
Hold on, you're jumping up.
What I'm trying to say is...
So you only have the answer if smoking's good or if smoking's bad. Here's the deal. You only hurt yourself when you try to convince the world around you that it's good for you. You, if you knew it was good for you, you wouldn't have to convince a soul, because you know who you are and you're at peace with it. Just like that kid that can eat so much food and not get fat.
This is why I love.
Don't convince me. Don't try to convince our radio listeners.
This is why I'm sharing the opposite side of every coin, because I think on everybody, you got to know that it's there, it exists. Whether you're right and you drive it home, or you're a listener and you have a different opinion, or an orator, but it will be another opinion because there's another soul. Matter of fact, there'll be maybe seven different opinions, seven billion rights and wrongs. Don't take any one as right or wrong unless
exactly.
It fits to you.
Yes, but and how do you monitor what's right or wrong within you? What is your monitor for that? Your heart, your feelings.
Yeah.
How does, when you say that, make you feel?
That's right. Your feet.
That's your indicator.
Component. But on this, I think it's teaching me will.
Well, I want to stay out of left brain with you and smoking. I want you, how does it make you feel is all that's concerned. And if it makes you feel good, then I got to tell you, smoking is good for you.
Mm-hmm.
But if it makes you feel, and remember, only you know your feelings. Nobody else does. But I can guarantee you, once you get that answer, you won't have to convince others. You won't have to say, I think it's teaching me this, or I think it's doing that. That, to me, sounds like you're copping out. If you truly centered yourself and knew if it was good or if it was bad for you, there, it's kind of like the old saying, the wealthiest people do not have to brag. Money is not even an object to them. They've got such abundance, and those who have just a little bit of money, they have to go and brag and show it off and da-da-da. And chances are that person's broke. What I'm trying to say is the exact same thing. If it was right for you, you wouldn't have to even talk about it. You wouldn't even have to say anything. You and yourself would know 1,000% that answer,
and
there would be peace with that.
Ultimately, every experience is right, because every experience, I think, is in some way almost, it's not like it's determined. I think you have absolute free will, but it's absolutely determined nonetheless. You know, I don't know how those two things fit together, but just like we have polar opposites across one extreme, it does. It makes sense. But ultimately, I've cut down from 3 packs to about 0.5 pack a day, so I'm doing okay. But it's interesting to muse because on so many levels, you do hear a different point of view, and the point of view that you might awaken to might be so out of left ballpark, like, my God, you might need the sulfur. Now, that's pitching it pretty, out there. And I'm not saying anybody should hang their hat on, like, gosh, I really need the tar. It helps to coat my lungs so my cilia don't grow out. You know, when there's smoke in the air.
Sounds just, very left
when
brain.
When there's, and I got sinus problems, it rolls down my throat. But you can make any excuse. But I think that the learning, just like going to school, there's a lesson to be learned for me. And like there is for everything that we do, and everybody has challenges that they face when it comes to will. Do I have the will to stick this out? Do I have the will to complete this project? Do I have the will to be strong enough and happy enough today that everybody around me is happy too?
I want to add this. I truly want to say this. I believe that there's two parts of us that helps make decisions. There is the most dominant one that out of 90% of the individuals in this world operate from this realm, and that's the head, the left brain. How you can tell from your head making all your decisions is exactly that. It's decisions. There's questions, there's comments, there's arguments within self, there's lists, there's the good, there's the bad, there's the discussions with friends,
the
looking for signs, the da-da-da-da. And then there's the heart, which just cannot explain it. Simply, you see a girl, you're just off. You know nothing about her, so you can't have a logical conversation. You can't go, oh, gosh, you've never talked this, love at first sight. You just, some feeling, you're in love. That's called your heart. And I got to throw this out there. If in this new future, this new era that we go into, if we could even just get 10% more of the people going from that heart, that no explanation, that heart decision, I think we would see such a profound difference in the world. I think that the left brain, Doug saying, the sulfur and the da-da, I think that, I can promise you, if I looked in books, has caused a lot of problems in this world. It's been a double-edged sword. It has helped us discover things like the telephone and the TV and all this, but it also helped us discover atomic bombs, created, anger and resentment and hatred and this guy's right and this guy, left brain. Because I can tell you, if we turn that head off and we all just started living from the hearts and how it made us feel, I would be interested to see the evolution of the world evolve.
Now you can see how interesting it is how a person can start to defend something that is wrong simply because of maybe a pleasure of it. Now, bear in mind, this is
an example. A guilty pleasure.
Yeah, a guilty pleasure, because in the very beginning we were discussing how people lie to themselves and how people, tell themselves something or maybe I can't quit or this is too strong or this is no good for me. Well, eventually those lies build up. And you can't escape yourself.
You can't. It's impossible. I can give all the runaround I want to for the reasons why I want to do something, but it may not be the right thing. And I know inside of me. I know smoking's a dumbass thing to do. There's nothing logical about it. Right? But I could have gone along with the same sort of a system and told everybody why, and double-talked. I used to do this always to my parents, double-talk them to the point where they didn't know what I was saying. But there is no getting away from how you feel. And that's really the bottom line. How do you feel about it?
Yes. And you know what? Feel. So that I want to leave everybody with is try it. Try it for one day. Once.
Yeah.
Just try it. If there's any feeling you have, whether it be a TV show, something as simple as a TV show you watch, or a place you like to visit, you just can't explain it. You just have this incline to go, you know, this intuition to go, this feeling to go. Follow it. That's your heart. And just see what it's like. See what it brings you.
Yeah. Sit back for 5 minutes, get in the mind, relax, and say,
Turn off the head. Tell the head to take the night off.
Or think of something that gives you the most positive feeling, and then just do it.
Do it. Don't question it.
Just do it.
The second you get logical with it, that's bad. Just any feeling, loving feeling in your heart, something that just to try, whether it's someone you've wanted to talk to them. Try it this week.
I'm going to be doing something pretty insane in 6 weeks, 8 weeks that you know of.
Yeah.
Now, think about this would be the worst, this would be something that a person would have the hardest, most difficult time doing, and it would take a huge challenge to do it. But I throw myself out there, and we might talk about it on some future show, because change is important.
Ultimately,
change is important. And I think we want to pose a question, maybe to our audience.
Sure.
Listeners.
Love that, yes. Let's close with a question.
Go ahead, Tom.
When is the last time? Because to start learning what the heart feeling is, here's a question. And if you want to email us, that's fantastic.
Doug@BBSRadio or Tyler@BBSRadio.com.
When is the last time something as simple as if there was a girl or guy that just awestruck you and you went and talked to them, or something like a TV show you had no explanation, you just liked and you watched, when is the last time you followed your heart, and can you get as precise as the date?
Yeah, and did it work out? Did it not?
Did it work out?
What was the change that resulted from that?
Yeah.
Following your heart, your intuition, no reason, no logical course
for
it. It just went.
As soon as you start having any thoughts, that you're not following your heart. It doesn't constitute.
Yep, you can't think about it. You have to feel about it.
It just has to be feeling.
We love you here.
Thank
this is Doug Newsom,
Tyler
Gallagher. Inner Dialogue.
Thank
our
you.
Inner Dialogue.
From the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to
our thoughts.
Letting us show you the glasses that we wear.
And
we're not right, we're not wrong, we're just sharing the experience, getting your thoughts.
Inner Dialogue, every Mondays from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on our most beloved network,
BBS Radio.
Bye-bye.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna.